Sweet. Well, let's do it.
Let's bring it on.
Cool, man. Well, today, I know we wanted to touch on plateaus and breaking through plateaus, and we're going to get to all that good stuff, but I want to touch on something real quick before we get into all that, because redoing my house, like painting, mudding, hanging new lights and stuff, I definitely need to reincorporate some shoulder isolations into my routine, because doing stuff above my head, my shoulders have been burning. Even just putting in, I switched out two lights today. Took the whole terminal off, put two new ones up, and I had to take a break for a second because I was like, Jesus, my shoulders are killing me. I don't know if it's, you know, I mean, I haven't lifted in 2 weeks, so that could be part of it, but I need to start doing some holds and getting that overhead endurance and isolation back up to what it was.
Yeah, but that actually reminds me of a summer where I did outdoor painting. So I was a painter for houses for a summer to kind of get some extra money. And I remember whenever we did on a ladder and we couldn't use the sprayer, we'd use the brush, and you'd be sitting there on the ladder for about 15 minutes just painting one spot that you can reach, and your arm would just be dead after 5 minutes. I remember that was a rough time for me. So I remember just working out a lot of shoulders at that point. So that was just a funny memory that you sparked up. But yeah, no, definitely for me though, I just started working out again after the back issue I didn't talk about before. Still kind of feeling some pain, but I can move around a lot more now, so that's been fun. But I actually started throwing, because I set up a new throwing setup at work. So I'm actually pretty impressed with it, because I got a net. I use the monkey bar. That's kind of the place to hang it off of. I just throw it at that. And I started throwing at it, and I got maybe 20 throws in, and I'm I'm already tired. My arm already hurts. And I was low-key depressed, but the funny part was the accuracy hasn't gone away, but I'm also not throwing at full speed either. So I'm I'm hoping that if I go all out, I'm not going to one, destroy my arm. Two, I'm not going to be as bad as I think I'm currently at, so we'll see how it goes.
Speaking of getting back into working out, I had another Sage actually surprised me with it today. I had another PRX order come in today, and since I had to leave the old squat rack at the old house because I didn't feel like moving it because it was just a piece of junk, I got a new one that now folds up into the wall, and I hope that PRX listens to this, because I would love a sponsorship, but unfortunately we're not making any money on this. But yeah, I got a new squat rack that folds up into the wall. It's got the pull up bar on it and everything. Got a sweet little I wouldn't call it a tree, but it's a weight rack that mounts into the wall, so that I can put all my plates up into the wall, up and out of the way.
Wouldn't that tear off the wall though, if you put so much weight on it?
No, I mean, we're gonna anchor it into the studs, so it'll be all right. And we'll probably put some bracing. I don't know. I'll have to look at how exactly it's set up, but we might have to brace it between a couple of studs and then bolt it into that. Okay. Just like we're gonna have to do with the squat rack, but I'm not sure. I don't know how physics works. I stick to working out. I don't know about physics, but
that's fair.
I got a cool little band mount, I guess. I don't know. It looks almost like a tie rack, but it's gonna have bands on it and some more weight. So really excited about that, because I mean, the heaviest I could go before was 220. So now I'm going to be able to get back up in the 300 range.
Oh boy, I'm sure you'd be happy about that.
Oh, it's so excited, except for I know that I'm not going to be able to get back up to it for a while, just because of taking so much time off.
Yeah, but that's where I'm at my job, because the heaviest weights we have are some 45-pound dumbbells, and that's literally it. So I was doing legs the other day, and I'm just this is almost depressing. I mean, the nice part is, like, if I'm doing, like, unilateral movements, like lunges or, like, single leg RDLs or really any single leg exercises, then I'm fine. But if I want to do, like, normal RDLs or, like, squats, like, I'm stuck at 90 pounds. That's the most I can hit. So it's, like, depressing at those days. But, like, I did unilateral the other day, and I'm still feeling it. So I'm like, okay, not the worst thing in the world, but it could be a lot better.
Yeah, and actually that can kind of be a nice little transition for us to busting through some plateaus, just because you're switching it up and stuff. But let's describe for the people what we mean when we say plateauing.
Okay, so I'm just like explain really the fitness progression as a whole that make it a little bit easier. So typically, when let's say we start with a brand new person that's never been into working out, typically the progression that you'll see them go through is the first couple weeks you're either going to see some awkward positioning, some not so much fast progressions, like they're just learning how things go. So like the first week or somewhere between the first week and maybe like to a month, depending on how new this person is and how much control they have over their body. So the first, I would say about a month, give or take about a week or two, is just learning how the body moves, understanding how everything works. And then once they move past that first phase, then that's where they see some major progressions kick in. That'll last anywhere from a couple weeks to a couple months. And that's where, again, most major transitions come in, where you're really seeing some improvements in strength, speed, skills, really depending on whatever their goals are, you'll see major progression going in toward that goal. And then the plateau kicks in, where you really won't see much progression. You really won't see much change in either if you're going for strength, weights going up. If you're going for speed, you won't see much change in your speed. If you're going for endurance, you'll be able to run the same amount of distance for the same amount of time. Really just not much change into the results you have been seeing over the last few weeks prior. And that's usually what we're talking about right now. It's like when you're in a workout and you don't see much change, you don't see much progression in what you're doing, that's the plateau we're talking about at the moment.
Yeah, and that can happen in a couple different aspects. I mean, that could happen in your actual body appearance or I don't know if that's
aesthetics.
Right. Yeah, your body aesthetics can plateau. Maybe you're just struggling to, you know, cut that last pound of body fat off that you're looking for, or it can happen in your weight, and where, you know, you've been doing same exercise, same amount of reps, and you've been building, and now you're stuck at this weight, and you can't get past it to get a little bit closer to your goals. So there's a couple of different things you can do, and I think depending on where you're plateauing or what your goals are, you have a couple of different options. So if you're looking at just merely a performance increase, maybe it takes a little bit of time, you know, to switch your goal. Or like Miles said, you know, he went from, you go from bilateral to unilateral. There's a lot of different things you can do to break through that.
Yeah, I would say for getting stuck at a plateau, the easiest and most simple answer to getting out of it is changing it up. So doing something different versus your normal routine. And actually, when you think about it from like a performance standpoint, if you think about athletics, the whole, I don't want to say theory, but the whole training protocol with like different seasons and how they pro athletes will change their seasons up and do their training based on the season they're in. So if they're in season, their training looks different. When they're off season, their training is mostly going towards strength, recovery. And then when they're in season, it's mostly going towards speed, sport-like movements, focusing on maximum effort, and just figuring out how to maximize your time in during your workouts. So when you think about it that way, pro athletes are constantly changing their workouts in order to get the maximum number of results, because once you hit that plateau, you really won't see much change, and that'll also translate onto the course. You got to make sure that over time you can't do the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Right. So if you find, well, let me start up real quick. So if you are, say you have this workout routine you've been doing for months, you know, there's the whole, I guess, philosophy behind working out is try and get your body to adapt to a stimulus, or trying to get your body to change because you are changing that environment that it's in. When you are adding, you know, resistance training, or when you're adding running or whatever, and your body's built to adapt. So if you continue to do the same workout routine, the same weight, the same amount of reps, eventually your body's going to get really good at that. And if you don't change anything, that's going to be what your body becomes accustomed to. So that's when you're going to find those plateaus start to happen. So what you need to do is change that stimulus that it's getting. So that way you have to adapt to something else. So say you're doing, I don't know, 3 sets of 12 on all your big lifts. Well, maybe it's time to dial it back a little bit. Maybe start doing some 5x5s, but trying to do some more weight. That way, do that for maybe a month and then go back to doing your 3x12 and see how that muscle memory kicks in. But now you have a stronger muscle and you have a more explosive muscle that'll allow you to bust through that plateau and try to, if I don't know, if your goal is to do 3x12 with 225 and you were only at 185, maybe you can do it now. I mean, maybe you'll have to work up to it a little bit again because you're going to have to refine that endurance, but your body has adapted to the 5x5 with heavier weight, but it still has that muscle memory of the old stimulus. Does that make sense?
Exactly. No, it definitely makes sense. Like, it actually reminds me of, it's not exactly a quote, but like a theory that the human body is one of the most adaptable, I guess, pieces of technology on the planet, because no matter what scenario you put in, give it enough time, your body will adapt to it. So let's say, like, the whole theory about, let's say you want to become a long distance runner. You, as long as you build up into it, you'll eventually be able to run long, long distances. If you want to train like a sprinter, your body will adapt to become more like a sprinter. If you want to be any other sport, as long as you train towards it, your body will adapt. So, and the thing is, if you stop giving your body things to adapt to, it won't adapt anymore. So, like, if, like, the whole, again, when we're talking about doing the same thing over and over, your body will adapt to it, but then it can only adapt to so much because you're doing the exact same thing over and over. So your body is already adapted, I guess, to the max for what you're currently doing. So if you don't give it something else to challenge it, it won't change in order to get better, if that makes sense.
It's found its optimal strength to endurance ratio. And if you're going to keep doing the same thing, then what does it have to adapt for? It's the same stimulus over and over and over again. Now your body's found the optimal range to be at, or whatever, I don't know, whatever your body sees fit to do or to deal with that stimulus, then there's no reason for it to adapt. And that's
exactly,
that's what, if you go back to, geez, I think it's like this fifth, maybe it's even before that. I don't know. Don't quote me on this timeline, but but that was the whole thing behind the Russian progressive overloading protocol, which a lot of powerlifting came from, a lot of bodybuilding came from. But back, I mean, when the Russians were just dominating the Olympics and weightlifting, they had put years behind developing this protocol, so that way you're always changing, you're always adapting, and you're always getting stronger. And I mean, even if you're somebody that's a moderate weightlifter, it's worth going and giving it a quick Google to the Russian progressive overloading and just taking a look at it. And it might help a few things click for you, and it might, you know, help drive a few points home, so that way when you are setting up either your next lift or your next phase of workouts or your next program, that you can kind of keep that in mind or keep it in the back of your head. Think about that while you're writing that.
No, definitely agree with that. I'm actually going to have to check that out. Is it the Russian optimal performance? I can't remember the word. Russian professional.
Russian progressive overload.
Progressive overload. Thank you. All right. I might look that up later. But that actually.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I forgot what I was going to bring up. But dang, I forgot what I was going to say. I got so I got so caught up on that wording. But I guess what I was just going to say was. Nope, it's gone. I thought it was gone.
Well, it's. So if you're working towards that goal, you know, this is something that I personally pull from sports in high school and from the bodybuilding community is giving yourself enough time so that way if you hit that plateau, you can quick jump out and then jump right back in. So if, you know, if I'm looking at lining up shows for, I don't know, it's just for fun, say 2021, but even though I'm definitely not coming back to bodybuilding anytime soon. if I'm looking at setting up shows for 2021, I would want to look at, you know, starting a prep, what it's end of October now. So I would want to look probably close to March, February. For my first show. And then if I wanted to do a second one, I'd want to, you know, give myself a month to, you know, get my body back to baseline because bodybuilding is just terrible on your body. Give myself a month to reverse diet back up, maybe hit a month of strength training and then do another, who knows, depending on where my body fat blows up to, another 12 to 16. So I could be looking at another September for a second show. And I would set up anything like that. So like in dodgeball, depending on what my training protocol looked like at the end of my season or end of season, then I would try to adjust from there. So I would set up, okay, I've been lifting more endurance style. You know, I don't have anything coming up. I'm going to go and do a quick powerlifting phase. See where that's at, see how it affects my performance, and then I'll come back to my performance. So that way I'm never getting stuck in something. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what a lot of, I'm going to blame Instagram and YouTube people for this, but people that sell a lot of these programs, they just give you a week breakdown. They don't tell you how long to do it. They don't tell you to cycle through it. It just says, here's your workout. This is what you should do every week if you want to be jacked. And it's going to work for a little while, but if you continue to do it month over month over month, you're not going to see the same gains you found in that first month or two.
Yeah, no, definitely agree with that. I was actually going to say that kind of like going along with what you said before about changing it up and planning way ahead. Let's say like you're someone that's already been like kind of in your workouts. You've been pretty good about keeping up with your workouts. One of my recommendations is change it up every few weeks. Like a lot of people tend to stick with the same workout for months at a time. And you may or may not realize that you probably already plateaued because most of the time you're doing the workouts like, it's kind of easy or my body's kind of used to it. So it's not as hard as it used to be when I first started. I would say change your workout every couple weeks or every, mm-hmm. I would say maybe a month or two, depending on what workouts you're doing. Cause I know some people live and swear by doing 100 push-ups a day, 250 push-up squats a day, yeah. Or some along the lines of that where they do more or less the same type of exercises. They may change the reps here or there, but they do the same exercise over and over. Change it up. Like, switch it out. Like, just because, like, when you're late lift, a lot of the movements are the same, doesn't mean you have to keep the same format every single time. Like, you may be doing the same movements, mm-hmm. but if you break down the rep count, if you break down the sets, if you change how you're doing the workouts, it changes the workout completely. So let's say you're doing, I don't know, bent over rows or like squats, lunges, all those basic movements, but you change up the set count, you change up the rep count, you change up the timing of the sets, you change up the resting points. Like you change everything that you're doing, it could be a very different workout. So like, for example, if you're going for strength, like typically you're going for about, I don't know, somewhere anywhere from like 3 to 6 sets of like 8 to 10 reps, give or take, if you're going for strength. And you usually take a long amount of rest time, anywhere from 1 minute to 2 minutes, sometimes longer between sets. Now, if you're going for more of endurance or conditioning, you may be doing those same exercises, maybe for the same rep counts, but you're doing maybe 30 seconds of rest in between, and you're just going. So it's a very different style of workout. So you may be able to do the same goals where you're going looking for strength. It's just a different style of doing it, and you'll be able to still get stronger from it. And you're adapting your workouts every time.
Yeah. And like we said before, you could even do something as simple as switching from barbell to dumbbell or vice versa. So if I'm doing, you know, four sets of 10 on bench and I'm using barbell, go to dumbbell, see how it feels. I mean, maybe you find that you are favoring your right arm and your left arm is now starting to catch up. And just that little bit of variation could help propel you to your next goal in bench press or in squats. Do hold dumbbells to the side or in front of you and do some squats that way, or switch. The time that I found the most gain, or I should say when I switched up a movement, I took the most from switching from back squats to front squats. And when I went to front, I got my front squat up to 315, and I think my knees never forgave me for it, but it improved my back squat so much. You know, I took my front squat that heavy and was able to get out of doing back squats for a little while and give that movement a rest and have to adapt to something else, then coming back and being able to do that.
All right, that's almost scary that you got that high, but I'm impressed by you. No matter what anyone else says, I'm impressed you got that high, because I'm borderline jealous, to be honest.
I would love to. Actually, I'm gonna do it once my gym is back up and running. I'm gonna get back to front squats, and have we talked about everything we have going on with, I guess, what's coming with Ball Out?
I think we did an episode on it, but that was like a couple weeks ago. So everything that's coming up now, no.
All right. So I don't know if I'm going to leave this in. I probably will. I don't know. But so we have a lot of good stuff coming out. And I'm working with technically an agency, but it's somebody I went to school with, on doing our social media stuff. And with that, there's going to be some eBooks that are going to be developed. And I think that, I don't know how much I want to give away. In the process right now of getting those created so that we have that template, but also I think we're gonna have one come out. I'm gonna get it all written up. I'm gonna send it over to you once it's completed, have you take a look at it, and then see what people think. I mean, post it out there. I mean, there's gonna be probably several, but we'll put one out there, see what people think, and if people like it, people want us to do more, we'll do more.
Sounds good. I like it. I would recommend putting this at the end, so now it's just like a random blip in the middle. But yeah, definitely agree that we should probably tell people about it, just to know that they know there's still stuff coming. Oh my god! But yeah.
Oh yeah. But yeah, so that is coming. What I was gonna say before that. Oh, I don't know.
But go ahead.
If it hits you, let me know. But I'll just keep going. But right. No, so. To bring that full circle, you know, I want to make sure that we have different phases in it, so that way people don't plateau. So that way it's something that, you know, you can cycle through a couple times and still see results. And what did I think I posted it the other day. There was a quote that was, all these like rec sport athletes out here training like bodybuilders, wondering why they're not getting better at their sport or something along those lines. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. I think I remember someone posted something similar to that, but I think so.
Yeah. And so I kind of want to touch on that a little bit too. So if you, I don't want to take away from whatever goals, you know, people are trying to accomplish, but I mean, here, obviously we're here for dodgeball and performance training. So if you want to train to be a better dodgeball player, don't be training like a bodybuilder. And I know that some people, that's all they know how to do, or that's all that they have access to, or maybe just don't even know where to begin to start performance training. But if you're here listening to Ball Out, you should have a little bit of an idea. And if not, that ebook is going to be coming out. I don't have a date yet, somewhere in the future, that will, you know, we should call it Couch to Tournament or something along those lines, like those Couch to Marathon packets.
We'll do
something like that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely will think about it. Definitely needed. I mean, especially now during COVID, where a lot of people are kind of like, there's two different types of players right now during COVID. There's players that are kind of training, even though they maybe not be as training as hard as they probably were before COVID, but they're still training so that when dodgeball opens up again, they're ready to go. Versus some people where they're just kind of sitting on their couch. They're like, well, there's no point in training because dodgeball isn't gonna be here anytime soon, so I'll just start up once dodgeball is up and running again. And there's nothing exactly wrong with either ideology, I guess, but if you're going to be taking yourself seriously as an athlete, if you want to take dodgeball seriously, if you want people to consider dodgeball a sport, why put yourself behind the competition? Why not, or even like keep yourself in line with the competition? Why not put yourself a head start? Why not give yourself a head start, a shortcut to being the best that you can be, versus trying to start up when everyone else is starting up and trying to, I guess, make a name for yourself when everyone else is doing it at the same time, versus starting out ahead and making a name for yourself before everyone else does. And that way, I guess it's your time to shine, if you want to think of it that way.
Yeah, that's, I mean, what we've kind of talked about in multiple podcasts is, why not start now? Get ahead of the curve. It's only going to help you in the long run. And why not shock a few people, you know? And I know gyms aren't open right now. And I know, well, I guess I can't speak for everybody, but gyms aren't open. I might be lying. They might be open here. I don't know.
I think most gyms are open, but they have restrictions on how you can do things.
I think Sage tried to join a gym and they had like crazy terms right now where like you had to pay years up front. I think it was like a year up front, and that if it was gonna get shut down again, you were not gonna get your money back. There was a crazy like sign up fee. I don't know. There was a bunch of,
what the hell? What gym is that?
I don't remember. I think it was like a Crunch. It had to be Crunch.
Oh, Crunch Fitness. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know too much about it, but like that doesn't surprise me. If it's like a franchise gym.
Yeah,
like that,
I'm pretty sure there was a bunch of like red tape and like. Yeah, it was like $300 just to start up or something crazy. So,
dude, that's nuts.
If that's the point, it is, and definitely not worth it when there's one in the garage. But the point of all that was to say that even if that's your excuse, that you don't have access to it right now, like we had just talked about, you know, you could be running. You could be doing push-ups. You could be doing air squats. You know, there are things that you can be doing. Go to your local elementary school and go on the monkey bars and do pull-ups. Like, just make sure it's not during school hours so you don't, you know, scare anybody. But
get arrested.
Yeah, you don't want to be put on that list. go do pull-ups. You know, like there's plenty of opportunity. Go to, you know, football fields at high schools that aren't being used right now, do stadiums. There's a lot of different things that you can do right now, and not having access to a gym just is unacceptable as an excuse, honestly.
No, definitely agree. It's like I said, there's just two different types of people, and it's really coming down to which one do you want to be? Do you want to be ready to go at all times versus getting ready when everyone else is getting ready? And being behind, especially if you know you're not, I want to be careful with my words, but I'm not going to say like you're not a great player, but you know people either don't think of you as a great player or a standout player, and you're looking to be that standout player, start now. Don't wait for it. Mm-hmm. Let's say nothing in life is going to be given to you. You got to work for it. And no matter how hard it is, you got to push yourself to get it if you're serious about it.
Yeah. No, and I think, honestly, I think there's going to be a hard divide when Dodgeball does start back up. That, you know, we see people that are still being very serious about their training regimen and that are serious to still being becoming better dodgeball players. And I think that gap in between the top tier and I guess really the rec players is just going to get widened. So I guess choose which side of that you want to fall on. You know, do you want to be in that top tier, or do you want to be more of the going out having fun, which everybody should be having fun, but you know, not part of that super competitive, not part of the I guess
top tier mindset.
Yeah, of like taking the sport as a professional sport and trying to push towards that level, then do what you're doing, I guess, if you're not working out.
I mean, again, I don't want to say if you don't consider dodgeball a serious sport, but if you want to play on the rec league or you're not really interested in like being the best, then that's your decision. More power to you. That's perfectly fine. Not everybody is going to want to play dodgeball to the world level or play to the best that they can. That's perfectly fine. We're mostly talking to people that really want to see dodgeball grow. You really want to see yourself be the best you can do. You want to see dodgeball be, I guess, considered a top tier sport that we all believe that it should be. And this is the message that we're really giving to you, that is make sure that you guys are pushing yourself the best you can be. Push others. Like if you know someone that wants to get better, but I guess they're too lazy to do it, or they don't know how to do it, or they don't want to do it, push them to do it. Like have your teammates, like if you guys talk about being the best team in the world and you guys don't do the work, push your teammates to do the work with you. Like don't, I guess don't let other people slack if they don't want to. Help be the change that you want to see. For the most part. I didn't really want to use that quote. But yeah. Yeah. I don't even know where that quote came from. I know I've heard it a billion times. I couldn't remember where. But yeah, be the change you want to be.
I think that's a Gandhi quote.
That might be it.
I have my goal for 2021 for my dodgeball play. Even though I'm a little behind on the goal right now, I'll be honest. You remember that show, Pros versus Joes?
It sounds familiar. I'm trying to remember when I saw it.
All right, so I'll give a brief little overview. So I don't even know if it's still on the air. It's probably on YouTube if you want to check it out. But it was like they would take professional athletes and pair them with, you know, these armchair quarterbacks or like people that thought they were hot shit at like a rec level, and they would compete against pro athletes, and 10 maybe 9.5 times out of 10 they would just get demolished, and you would just be able to see the gap between, you know, a rec level athlete and a professional athlete, and just the seriousness at which that's the sport actually, you actually need that skill to perform at that level. These Joes would just get mopped, and it's hilarious to watch. So that's my goal for the 2021, is to look like that pro versus people that haven't been doing anything, that haven't been taking the sport as seriously as they should, or haven't taken their training for the sport as seriously as they should. That's my 2021 goal.
That's a very good goal.
On paper.
I'll say we haven't recorded. We'll bring it back if we need to. If you haven't gotten to the level, we'll shame you for it.
Oh, please do.
Better start now.
Yeah, like I said, I'm gonna be building. Well, I gotta finish the house first, so hopefully that's done by Saturday, and then be building the gym Sunday, and I'm back after it Monday.
Say definitely. You know what we should do for I guess for New Year's episode, I guess we should do like a New Year's resolution and then post up all our what's it called, our goals, resolutions for the year, and then see what happens the next year and see how many we actually accomplish versus not accomplishing.
I'm game for that. We should definitely do. I don't know if we want to do that in if we want to do it on the website on Fit to Win, or if we want to just record an episode and then post it on Instagram or something. We'll get it out there. All right. Yeah, we'll just do the shotgun spray. Just post it everywhere.
Pretty much. But yeah, definitely. No, go ahead.
I was gonna say we should just pick like, you know, three to five things. We'll do like some dodgeball, some fitness, and then if we want to do like personal, we can do that as well.
I like it. And then for the best part about it, we'll probably get more engagement from it. So then other people will probably post as well. And then we'll just call everybody out that doesn't accomplish their goals. And that'd be a good episode.
Well, yeah, maybe not call them
but some long lines of that.
Well, we'll keep them, we'll hold them accountable for,
yes,
for what their goals were. We should do, training with ball out, but like growing or
we'll figure
chasing
out a term
after our goals. Yeah, we'll figure something out. But I'd like to give, you know, people that are sharing those with us a shout out, and you know, let people know that they're also hustlers and want to get after their goals too.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So I'm trying to think of what
back
else.
Back to plateaus.
Back to plateaus. I was trying to find a way like loop it back, but really wasn't it a good way.
Just the abrupt transitions. I'm all about it.
Like the hard part about this topic is like it really all comes down to just changing your workout. Like there's really not much, like there's no hidden secrets. There's no, at least as far as I'm aware. There's none of that.
I want to touch on, you know, we talked about on the weightlifting side. I want to touch on the nutrition and diet side really quick. If you want to, you know, I kind of touched on, I guess, a little bit in bodybuilding.
No, definitely. Just dive into it.
Yeah. So if you are in a caloric deficit for a long time, and you just find it hard to, you know, I hate saying goal weight, because hitting a goal weight without being very self-aware and aware of your physiology and where you should be at. I'm just going to say, if you're not at your goal, in the mirror, I guess we'll just say that if you're not quite there, but you've been in a caloric deficit for I go up to like 6 months, I don't know, if you've been in that and you just cannot lose any more weight, that's because your metabolism has plateaued and you need to get your metabolism back up before you can cut it back down again. And one of my, I don't know if you want to call it a favorite tidbit of working out or my favorite fun fact, I don't know, whatever, is when somebody is starting to get into training and get into, you know, bettering themselves, I 9 times out of 10 would always start somebody in a reverse diet scenario. And I don't know if that's where you would start people, but I want to find their baseline first, find their maintenance, find out what they have been eating, and then go from there. But if you can ramp up your metabolism through eating proper nutrition and resistance training, then it makes it so much easier to bring that deficit to a normal level. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, definitely understand what you're saying. I'll let you finish first.
All right. So if you were somebody who, say your maintenance calories are, 2,200, and you know you ramp up and up, and you find that now you can eat 2,800 calories and you can't gain any more weight, and you're getting pretty lean at eating 2,800 calories. If you come back down to 2,200, you are in, I would say, a hard deficit. And then that weight's just going to fall off you. And if you can build up to that, and then that's your new normal, bringing it back down to where you were at before is going to feel like nothing. I mean, I've gotten to points where I was eating over 3,000 calories a day, and then coming back down to like 2,600 felt like nothing. I mean, I would have to force myself to eat at night to hit like 3,000 calories, and then coming back down was easy. And it made losing that weight so much easier.
Yeah. Like, I just want to, so for me personally, so the way I typically have people look at it, especially when you come down to diet and I guess body aesthetics. So since I work in a gym with primarily women as our member demographic, a lot of them are moms that had either one or multiple kids, and they've gained some weight typically because of that. And they're trying to get back to a weight that they were prior to having kids, or weight back to where they were back in high school or college, back when they're, I guess, their younger days. I mean, most of them are only in their 30s, so they're not exactly like on the older side. But one thing I usually have to tell them that is, because your body has changed dramatically since the weight you were prior to children, prior to basically when your life started changing, your metabolism, like you said before, your metabolism is going to make a huge change. And as you get older, the metabolism is only going to slow down. So you have to do everything you can to try to pick it back up. It's probably never, ever going to go back to where it was in high school or college, because that is when your body's still growing. That is when your body's still adapting. So your body is in a constant flux of burning calories at that time. So like, you may be able to burn 3,000 calories in high school without doing a single thing.
Right.
And again, that's just an estimation, if not exactly an accurate number. Because again, your body's growing, it's changing, going through puberty, going through all these hormonal changes. So like, doing a lot of work just to put up with what it's doing. So when your body is starting to get past the point of its peak, so like right around 25, when your body is at its peak, your metabolism slowed down because you're not exactly growing anymore. Your body isn't exactly changing anymore. The only thing it's doing is just running on all cylinders at that point. And as you get older and you have kids and you start going to, I guess, your normal routine, your body starts to slow down because, again, it's adapting. So when you have kids, you're not moving around as much. You're typically at work, you're doing all these things, and your body's slowing down. So your metabolism is going to follow suit with it. So when you're trying to drop all this weight and trying to do the things you were doing back in college and understand that it's not working, it's because, again, your body has changed to a point where it probably won't go back. So it's really about seeing where you're currently at, what you can do to work with it, and how to adapt from that point on. So it's really about taking a serious look at your body. You may have a goal, you may have a dream, but if it's not exactly where it should be or a realistic dream, then you really have to reassess on what you're doing.
See, I think somebody can get back to that. I think it's a long road, and it's gonna take a lot more planning and diligence. And when they, like, you know, like you said, late teens, early 20s, you could just eat whatever and, you know, still have a six pack or whatever. But and you're getting up into, exactly, you know, those age brackets, it's just, it takes more conscientious, I think I said it right conscientious,
yeah, no, okay, you're right,
effort,
right.
It's on the part of the individual, because as long as you can stay dialed into those goals, then I for sure think that you can get back there. Like we said, the body is an adapting,
yeah, it definitely can,
machine. And, you know, you see some what are those commercials, like the Nutrisystem commercials where guys are like 70 and ripped it's cheesy and stupid and probably not due to Nutrisystem at all, but you can get there at that age. It's going to take a lot of extra effort and it's going to take hella work to do it, but it's possible.
Yeah. Like I said, and I never said it wasn't possible. Well, right. It's going to be a road that's going to be really rough. And for some people, they're probably never going to get there because they either don't want to work hard enough for it or they're going to give up prior to. So that's why I usually come at it with more of like a, I don't want to say a negative approach, but kind of like a more realistic approach. Like some people, you may never get there. Some people can, some people will, and that's perfectly okay. But I usually tell people, like, look at the body you got now. What can you do with it? Where do you realistically want to be? Like, don't focus so much on what you see. It's more about how you feel, how you are moving, how you are adapting, how you, I guess, how you currently feel with the body you have. Like, because some people, like, for example, like some people glowed up after high school, after college, because they worked for it. Some people look better in high school than they currently do now. It really depends on what you currently see yourself as, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, that's something that definitely is in like an assessment when I'm, you know, bringing people on. And it's not what do you want to do? It's what can you realistically do? You know, when somebody comes and wants to get a program, like I want to start going to the gym 5 days a week. So, well, is that realistic? Can you actually do that? Or are you looking more like 3 times a week? Because I can write up a 5 day a week plan and you can get in the gym maybe 1 week a month to the hitting that five. And if you're not staying consistent on the program I give you, borderline no good. But if I write you something that, you know, it's 3 days a week, you can actually do that month over month, that's going to be more successful for you. And if you can follow that, then you're going to see those results that you're actually looking for.
Exactly.
I like that though. Keeping it realistic. That's part of that that SMART goals that we talk about.
Yeah, but it's hard, especially when I'm like, I'm usually an optimistic person, but like I hate having to take the realistic look at it because then I feel like the bad guy half the time where like I tell people like for example, like I had this one person come in, like I want to drop like, I think it was like 100 pounds in like 6 months. And I was like, all right, man, so here's how we're going to have to do this. Like it's technically possible, but like not a great look on how to do it. So I would never recommend it to anybody to try to do that much weight. So like I had to shoot at him, be like, bro, this isn't going to work. We're going to have to kick this day by day. We're going to work on it as hard as we can. We're going to get you to go as fast as we can, but we're going to take the right approach to this. Realistically, it's only healthy to lose maybe 10 pounds a month, maybe 15, 20, depending on like the situation you're in and what you're doing. But as long as it's healthy, like at most we can get probably 60 pounds, but like even that's a stretch. So
yeah.
It was just telling the dude, like, hey, as much as I'd love to support that goal, realistically, it's not probably going to happen. It could, but it's not really ideal for the body. It's not going to be healthy, not exactly safe.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just take it day by day. We'll do as much weight as we can. But long as we take the right approach to it, we'll see how much weight comes off in 6 months. And they're like, okay, we'll work with that. So I was like, okay, cool. Because now I don't feel as bad saying that. But I also know, like, I don't like crushing people's dreams. But you got to do what I got to do sometimes.
See, and I'm very, I guess, bipolar with that, where there's times that, you know, you're only going to get tough love for me, where it's like you put yourself in this situation. Now you have to get yourself out of it and it's going to be hard work. And if your goals are that high, let me tell you, I'll write it up, but I'm not confident in you it takes being able to read people to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I love being the bad guy sometimes, because sometimes people need that. Sometimes, you know, people get too many yes men in their life and it's, oh, you're fine, oh, you're healthy, oh, whatever. And, you know, maybe deep down you're not happy, but people keep telling you you're healthy, you look great, whatever, but you're unhappy. Those people can kick rocks then, you know, they can tell you all they want, but if it doesn't make you happy inside, then forget them. then they're not helping you, you know, then they aren't, you know, fueling your goals. They're people that aren't trying to, you know, push you to be better yourself really, or push you towards your happiness. So I can swing both ways on tough love and, being,
the good guy.
I guess the good guy that, oh, hey, you made it today. Good job. Like,
oh man. But I will say that, like one thing you gotta be careful about, especially when people's happiness and their goals, that some goals are toxic, to yourself. Some people may not realize that. Mm-hmm. So you gotta be careful what type of goals make them happy. Because I know, like, for example, some people want to lose so much weight that they start doing negative, negative actions in order to accomplish that goal. Like, let's say you want to lose weight and you're getting stuck at that plateau and you're not losing any weight. You start taking drastic measures in order to get that weight. So that's where, like, a lot of some really bad stuff can happen. Like, I know eating disorders can be a problem with that. Like, that's a whole other topic we could talk about at another time possibly. But like, making sure that – oh, this is actually – I think this is a good way to wrap up this episode too. Like, make sure you don't do – anything drastic in order to accomplish that goal, to break that plateau, because when that happens, you're just going to do more harm than good. So reach out to us, reach out to people that know what they're doing in order to help you break that plateau. Because if you start taking those negative actions, then it's just going to snowball from there. You may end up putting yourself in a worse position than you were originally at. So make sure you are taking the right actions, doing the right things, like talk to people, get help if you need it. So yeah, I didn't want that to end on a depressing note, but like,
Well, I mean, quick fixes usually don't last. So, you know, put in the time, put in the work, and, you know, you'll get those lasting results that you're looking for. And, you know, to bring that full circle with a plateau, you know, you can't just be focused on that month of training that you're working on right now. You know, you need to look, take a step back and kind of zoom out to what's the big picture here and how do I get closer to those goals? Even though I've plateaued right now, how do I pivot, adapt, and, you know, make a detour quick so that way I get to my goals faster or even better?
Yeah, let's say it's all about, it's about the journey. It's not exactly a straight shot. It very rarely ever is a straight shot, but it's about taking the right steps, taking the right turns here and there when you need to get to the goal you need to go. Mm-hmm. You may get lost along the way, but as long as you keep the end goal in mind and taking the necessary steps, you'll get to where you want to go. You may need help along the way. You may need some guidance, but you just got to do what you got to do in order to be successful. And that's really all life technically is, especially when it comes to training in order to do what you want to do.
Feel that. I think that's going out on top right there.
Yeah. I come up with some good quotes every once in a while.
Well, I mean, I don't really have anything else I wanted to bring up on plateaus. Are you good on that?
No, I think we're good. This episode is a little bit all over the place, but I think it works.
I mean, that's kind of our thing. We
for sure.
We cover a topic and then kind of go all over. So, cool, man. I'm good. So everybody out there in podcast land, thanks for listening, you know, to your favorite performance dodgeball podcast. And if you're not following us by now, make sure that you do check out our social medias, because they will be, I guess, improving soon. And we're going to start pumping those up a little bit more. So check them out. Ball Out Dodgeball at on Facebook and Instagram, Ball Out Pod on Twitter. That YouTube channel still in the works. Keep an eye on the website, because the website is being worked on actually currently. Ooh, nice. Yeah, she emailed me today that she's working on that. So keep an eye out on that for improvements, and keep balling out. I'm good if you're good.
I'm just making that, like, let us know what type of products you want. I might start back into that. I don't know when, but I kind of want to get some merchandise from us going, just because we got the website and stuff going. So I figured might as well start up on the merchandise that you guys were interested in before. So if you guys have any ideas on merchandise you guys want to get, whether it's like clothing, apparel, bottles, bands, whatever, let us know and we'll get started up on that hopefully soon. Cause Christmas is coming around. So, you can, yeah, I just thought of that now. So, like, hold the Christmas coming soon. So, if you guys want to start giving Fallout Christmas stuff, let us know. We'll have guest stuff available for that.
Great way to drop subtle hints to your teammates. Get them some Fallout stuff, right? So that way they're listening and they're taking the hint of it's time to get back in shape.
Exactly. I'll say, but dodgeball may not be happening now, but if you get them started now, they'll be ready when it starts, and you got to be a much better team for it.
All right, man. I got to get out of here. Good episode. I'm good if you're good.
I'm good, man.
All right. Then we out.
Peace out, guys.